You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is 11 minutes after 5 o'clock, and it's time for us to get into our health and wellness, our lifestyle segment, where we are joined by Dr. Atalagbir speaking to us about breast cancer awareness. We started this conversation last week. The doctor joins us on the line right now. Dr. Atalagbir, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for making time once again for joining us. How was your week?
It has been wonderful so far.
Happy to hear that. So happy to hear that. So we're still talking about breast cancer awareness. And of course, we started this conversation last week as this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So let's continue this conversation. Before we get into today's topic, can you just maybe give us a recap of what we covered last week?
Yes, that is a wonderful idea. Last week, we began to look at the topic of cancer, and then we started with the history. And that history is very thrilling. That's the word I will use, though it is sad. Because the history of cancer dates back to ancient Egypt. How far back can we go? That's about 3,500 years ago, when the first three patients were recorded that we know from history. And back in the 18th century is when the treatment actually began to be recorded for cancer. And so cancer is an ancient disease, as we can see. So from Hippocrates, that is considered the master of modern medicine, he identified cancer. And his story is very interesting. He said it is, when one considers what he said, it's a systemic disease, which means that you cannot localize cancer in one place, although it's easily palpable. When the tumor is there, you can touch it and you can feel it very, very well. But then because you feel it in one place does not mean that is where it is located. It's not local. It's all over the body, because Hippocrates believed that it's all over. It's you can't remove it by surgery. Yes.
Wow. That almost sounds like an undefeatable enemy.
Well, to an extent, but not really.
Okay.
Well, when we know how we can defeat it, then it is easily defeated.
Okay.
And once we know how to deal with cancer, then one of the major things is that it should be prevented, and we can prevent it. And when we start seeing its symptoms, and that is one of the wonderful things in modern science, that now it can be easily detected if we pay attention to the details of cancer. But last week we did say also that so many things, so many theories have come up with the physicians and scientists, and by the 1920s to 1950s, they were removing cancer by radical mastectomy paradigm. That is, they believe now that it is localized compared to what Hippocrates brought up in 18th century.
So,
and that has led us to really, I will call it, disfiguring of women. And you know, it's not only women that have breast cancer, by the way, but it's prevalent among women. And this is the number two killer disease for women. Yes, it's very terrible. So if we go back to the time of systemic theory, that it's all over the body, to the time when they began to try to remove it, that it can be localized and then get it out, to now that they are trying to combine the two. Okay. So that's what is going on right now. So now they promote early detection. They promote what can be done to help get rid of cancer. So they combine the fact that, yes, it's a systemic disease. They do chemotherapy, try to also fix the local area by radiation or hormone treatment. Particularly, we have the tamoxifen that is used a lot now. And then mammography is there to help with the detection. And then some still use surgery. And the statistics as of early 2000 is that they combine the three methods, the surgery, the chemotherapy, and then radiation. But unfortunately, the cancer will still return to kill. So what now is significant is that scientists have been able to find and isolate the genes that cause breast cancer, the BRCA2 and the ATM. Now, so advances are going on in molecular and genetic sciences that are helping to create therapeutic strategies to help both women and men, to have hope, and they have more choices to detect and to treat cancer. Mm-hmm. So that is a way forward that is helping a lot.
Yeah.
But that is just a lot of help. It is not still the total health. Mm-hmm. From what we can see from evidences that we have in the number of women that are still dying mm-hmm. from breast cancer, to the extent that, yes, they have created a time for awareness, which is wonderful. So in the way forward also, yes.
No, I just wanted to ask you, when you talk about early detection, is that something that can only be done by a medical professional, or are there any signs that one can look for even at home?
It's one thing that one can look for at home. Okay. And that is what brought me to the next point I was going to also say. So that's a very wonderful question.
Okay.
Every woman should become familiar with the normal anatomy and physiology of their breasts
mm-hmm.
in order to be able to recognize early signs of possible abnormalities.
Okay.
Now, if I don't know that something is normal, if I don't know what is normal, I will not know that there's something wrong.
Yes.
So it is necessary for every woman to know, this is my normal breast. This is how normal breasts should be. And that's not something we can do over the radio. It's an assignment we have to take upon ourselves.
Right.
We've got to go to anatomy and physiology textbook and read what's the breast supposed to look like. How is it supposed to feel when I touch it? So every woman, once in a while, gets into the bathroom, having your shower, you should be able to do your own palpitation of your breast.
Mm.
Is everything all right? Is everything going well? And that just helps. So that if anything is then getting to be abnormal, you'll be able to know very quickly.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's just the wonderful question that you brought in right there.
Okay.
Every woman should know their breasts. Every woman should know that there's something wrong so that they can take care of it very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I find out in my practice and working with people in natural healthcare that most of us don't know our body.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what is. We think it's only the doctors that should know about it, but that is not true. We should all know it. And so in breast cancer detection, it is at home. Usually that a woman will say, I feel something is wrong, and then she'll go to the hospital to try to find what is wrong.
Mm.
So, yes, we'll be able to find out at home if everything is well.
All right.
Well, before we run up today, it's very important that we realize what are the things that can cause a problem.
Yes.
Then we know how to avoid them.
All right, what are those?
Several causes have been found for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be surprised, but when I first thought about it, read about it, and learned about it, it seems like, what in the world? But listen, the things that can cause breast cancer include constipation.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, constipation will cause many, many health problems. And constipation is not just, I did not move my bowel in 1 week.
Yes.
Constipation is, I did not move my bowel with the number of times I ate in a day.
Okay.
That is, if you eat 3 times a day, you should move your bowel 3 times a day.
Really?
That is why 2 meals a day is better than 3. Yes. Because every meal that we eat, you see, that's why snacking is not a good thing.
Mm.
Because if you eat 10 times a day and you don't move your bowel 10 times a day,
that's a lot of trips.
That's a real problem. that's a lot of trips. But then we don't make the trips. That's just the thing. We don't. So it's hanging somewhere in the body, especially in the gastrointestinal tract.
Oh, no. Okay.
The leftover, the waste products, they are sticking in there, hiding in the corners. And you know, they are all like folds. Our GI system, the large intestine especially, is a big... are you with me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Network is good. And those folds, they have the ability to hide waste. So that's why constipation is number one from this literature that I'm perusing. Then high estrogen, you know, we have a balance of estrogen and how high it should be and what level we should have. When it's getting high, and there are several factors that can get into spiking our estrogen level, including stress. But most of the time it is stress and wrong habits of living. Then family history of breast cancer. That's the common one. We know that many times genetic factors, since they even identify some genes that are responsible for breast cancer. So sometimes it runs in the family. Another factor or cause is never having been pregnant. That is, have been found also to be responsible. And that has to also has to do with the estrogen and the other hormones that are supposed to balance each other and so forth. And then when one is having menstrual problems, whether the menstruation is coming late, whether it is not coming at all, or what type of problems we are having during the time of our menstrual period are some of the indicators or some of the causes that can result into breast cancer. Then exposure to radiation. For some of us, we go to take X-ray for other things like tooth problems, like lung issues, and so forth. So the amount of exposure to radiation is a problem. Ironically, radiation is also used to treat cancer. Well, that's by the way. Unhealthy foods.
Sorry, doctor, just to interrupt you there. There's one question that came in when you're talking about the having several meals a day and how however many meals a day you have, that's how many bowel movements you should be having. One question has just come in on our WhatsApp line. It says, what about eating fruits during the day? So in addition to the two main meals, is it okay to have fruits or a healthy snack?
No, it's still food.
It's still food.
So still food.
How exactly do we time these meals, though? Because I think most people are thinking breakfast, I'm probably going to have breakfast before I leave home. So before 7 in the morning, and then dinner is going to be after work. So am I just going the whole day without any food whatsoever?
Well, it's because of the definition of food.
Okay.
So the definition of food is anything that is not water. Okay. So that is one. And then, so if one is going to eat breakfast before leaving home in the morning, and then you're not going to eat anything until evening, then you are eating twice a day. Okay. Now, if you're going to eat at lunchtime at work, then it is still food. You might choose that, well, I'm just going to carry my fruits to work today because I don't want to carry cooked food. That's food. Or, oh, tomorrow I'm just going to have fruit for my breakfast. That is food.
Yeah. All right. So we were still going through the other factors.
Yes, the other factors are unhealthy food. So that's a good one that we ask those questions.
Okay.
You know, today, to a large extent, we eat industrial foods.
Yes.
And industrial foods are not healthy foods. In the industry, they are not making the food so that you can be healthy. Mm-hmm. They are making the food so that they can help you to eat on time. Maybe you are in a hurry and so forth. Mm-hmm. And also, they are making money. So they are not going to pay full attention or enough attention to health. So living on industrial foods is not ideal. I mean, one can still use industrial foods, but to rely 100% or maybe even 80% on industrial food is one of the causes of cancer.
What exactly are we referring to when you say industrial foods?
We are talking about canned foods. We're talking about highly processed foods. Example, sugar, dry breakfast cereals. Like an industrial food.
Okay.
Compared to waking up in the morning, cooking maybe oatmeal. The oat is still made in the industry, but it's not as highly processed as the breakfast, dry breakfast cereals. You understand?
Got it.
The level of the more processing, the more difficult, the more prone to causing cancer.
Okay, got it.
So the others are estrogen therapy, You know, I have read of cases of individuals because of menopausal problems in reaching menopause. They take hormone replacement therapy, and one of the side effects is breast cancer. So that's an example of estrogen therapy. Then blood pressure drugs, high fat diet, obesity, having too much weight. That is a lot. That is enough to chew, isn't it?
Yep, that's a lot. And that's very, and it's
that's
so
a
easy.
Lot.
That's that. Those ones are very easy to fall into.
Exactly, and that is why breast cancer is number two killer disease in the whole wide world after heart disease. I know our time is running very fast, and I try to push it as much as possible.
Yes.
But the interesting thing is that the number one killer and the number two killer are caused by the same problem. So it depends on which side of the class you are sitting, actually. Yes. So you are sitting in the class of eating all of these things I have listed. So it is now where the body is weak that the effect will show up. So for some people, it will show up in the heart. For others, in the breasts. And the American Association for, what do you call them, to help with the diet for heart disease and the diet for cancer.
Yes.
It's the same diet plan for cancer, it's the same diet plan for heart disease. So all of these things, if one is paying a close attention, you begin to see a pattern. And the pattern is that when we look at the causes of these diseases and we can prevent them by living in such a way that we are not going to be subjected to living this way, then the possibility of getting sick with these lifestyle diseases would not be there.
Wow. Sure.
So these are very, very important things to keep in mind as one is looking at the issue of breast cancer.
Very interesting. Doctor, thank you so much for coming through for another very enlightening lesson on how we can watch out for this number two killer disease. It's not; it doesn't have to be a death sentence, but the best thing is to avoid it, try and prevent it before it actually gets to us. So thank you so much for those insights, and look forward to connecting again next week. God bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Same to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.